This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Dr. Joe, I love this whole Christology business that you guys have been into down at Atlanta Bible College.
Yeah, it's a good study.
Extraordinary stuff. And so you've got your students working through these things with you, and I like that a lot.
Yeah, you know, I used to survey a little book and a little bit, and I got a little book that I'm writing all my notes in.
So all right.
I'd like to just talk about the root based on some of Bible works and things like that. But most people do not understand Christ is not a name.
Ah, yes.
Christ is a title. Mm. And it's based on the Hebrew Mashiach, and literally poured on, to be poured on, you know, and it's, you know, Samuel anointed Saul and David. He Mashiach them as the king. So, Ha Mashiach. Ha is Hebrew for the anointed. So we use the Christ.
Yes.
And so Greek is Christos, but Hebrew is Mashiach. That word, Christos, occurs 516 times in the New Testament.
Love it.
And so it is a title. Now, this is a trick question for, I'm going to look at the cameras and say to the viewers, which does Paul say most, Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ?
Huh.
Now, and that's a little tough if it weren't for computers to figure out.
Yes.
But, you know, with the Bible Works program, I did look it up. And in Pauline discussion, Paul is a good Jew, Brother Dan.
Absolutely.
And he starts off most of the time with Christ Jesus, Messiah Jesus.
Wow.
And I think, if I remember the stats about right, somewhere around 90 times, he uses the phrase Messiah Jesus.
Wow.
And then about 70 or 80, he uses Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So it's a mixture in Paul. Mm. And quite often when he's talking to Timothy and the Jewish, anyone with Jewish flavor, he will say Messiah Jesus. This is a critical point in the New Testament that Jesus is the anointed one of God who is going to rule the world in the kingdom of God to come.
I like
so
that.
We've been working on that.
That's great. Well, I'm glad you're... This is interesting because I'm glad that the students there are good Bible students, but they're learning something that I find most Christians somehow or another don't seem to understand, and that is that the word Christ actually means something.
It's a title,
And it is has a significance.
Extremes.
One who is anointed, or this anointed one, the anointed one in his case.
And we read what Peter says, this Jesus whom you crucified,
yes,
God has made both Lord and Christ,
yes, yes,
Master and Messiah.
So
some of the stats that I've been walking through is, you know, how many times does it say Son of God and Son of Man? And most people know that Jesus' favorite term for himself was Son of Man. He did not try to elevate himself, Dan.
Right.
He humbled himself. He even, kenosis, he emptied himself of any pride.
Right.
He did not grasp at equality with God.
Right.
He refers to himself most often as Son of Man. And the term Son of God occurs about 40 times in the Bible.
Wow.
You know, so statistically speaking, you know, the clarity of that is so beautiful. And I've also pointed out the 22 times that Jesus is at the right hand of Almighty God.
Wow.
So Christos is very clear in the New Testament. You know, Son of God is very clear. Son of Man is very clear. The term is used Nazarene 13 times. So this Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And that represents the coming King, the one, the Prince of Life, as Peter talked about, the Prince of Life who is to rule the world.
Yes, yes.
And so it's so beautiful. Another thing we did, you'll appreciate this. Sometimes we have that idiom, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Right.
we get so focused on, you know, one or the other aspect of this, you know, and we get into Chalcedonian Christology, and we have Nicene Christology, and we have what Luther thought, and we have what Calvin thought, and then we have what Joe thinks, and then we have what Brother Dan, and so we have so many trees in this forest.
Yeah.
That another basic thing we did, we looked up the term of God.
Oh, wow.
Now, that ought to be exciting in the New Testament. What's of God? And 529 times the New Testament speaks about of God. And our friend Sir Anthony would have us to note that kingdom of God occurs many times. In fact, kingdom of God occurs 63 times in the version of the computer program that I used. Kingdom of God occurs 63 times. Word of God occurs, I'm giving you the top five. Word of God occurs 45 times.
Okay.
Son of God occurs 40 times. Will of God occurs 25 times. And grace of God occurs 23 times.
Wow.
So in our study of Christology, I would like to call attention to the fact that all of these things are important, but they're all of God.
Yes, yes.
You know, God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only birthed Son. This Messiah is the promised seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, that was to come. This Messiah is the promised descendant of Abraham that would bring blessing to the whole world.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So this Messiah is magnificent.
Wow. I love it. And He is the Christ of God.
The Christ of God.
The anointed of God.
The Christ of God. That is exactly right. You know, and so in terms of Jesus, I went down every verse that said of God. You know, He's the Holy One of God. He's the salvation of God. He's the Christ of God. You were quoting, by the way, Luke 9:20. The Christ of God.
Oh, yes, yes.
This is the Messiah whom God has appointed. He is the, and also Luke 23:35, the Christ of God. And also He is the Lamb of God.
Wow.
You know, He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the gift of God, the bread of God, the Holy One of God, and the wisdom of God, the image of God, the knowledge of God, the priest of the creation of God. What does that say and what does it not say?
Yeah. Wow.
It doesn't say He is God. He is the Son of God.
Yes.
The simple
Which
Bible
is what
truth.
We say.
Which is a
we're,
basic
we're just simple enough to believe the scriptures for what they really say.
Yeah.
And again, I said this before, but how is it that we somehow are wrong for saying what the Bible actually says, that He's the Son of God.
Son of God.
And that others are right for saying something different from that, that He's God the Son.
Yeah.
Which the Bible is not going to bring us that.
We are bound, I feel we are bound by the Word of God. The Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Plato isn't quick and powerful. Socrates isn't quick and powerful. Joe isn't quick and powerful. Luther isn't quick and powerful. Now, these are okay sometimes. You know, they're not all wrong, but they're not all. Just let the Scripture. And remember, do not go beyond what is written.
Oh, wow. In that Word.
In that Word.
Yes.
In this Word. So, if we simply say, as Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Wow. Yes.
We've stuck with Scripture.
Yes.
When you go beyond a Nicene formula or a Chalcedonian formula or whatever formula, beyond Scripture. And I've encouraged the students, what could you do to profess your faith by simply quoting the Word of God? Now that's a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
When you start bringing in Greek philosophy and other thoughts of other men, I think that's where we get in trouble. So the biblical faith is, you know, not only is Jesus the Holy One of God, Christ of God, salvation of God, gift of God, bread of God, power of God, wisdom of God, image of God, form of God, priest of God, born of God, word of God, and all those things of God. God did miracles through Him. God made Him both Master and Messiah.
I love it.
Because He submitted to the will of the Father.
Wow.
And we have opportunities to do that as well.
So isn't that wonderful? So actually, the Bible student could advance themselves, his or herself, a long way along by a simple matter as just studying through the term of God.
Yeah.
In relationship to Jesus. Yeah. I love it.
Study of God in relationship to Jesus.
Go ahead.
And I came up with 14 or 15 things that Jesus was of God. He's the Lamb of God, the Word of God, all those things, the begotten of God, if you will.
I love it.
You know, but, and so another thing that fits this statistical analysis in Christology is, and we mentioned it before, what about, what does God say? And God says, my son.
Oh, yes.
My son. You know, at the baptism, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Wow.
Did you know there are only three words added at the Mount of Transfiguration? From the statement of, so God remembered what he said at the baptism,
yes,
and whenever the transfiguration is, two or three years later, or whenever it was, you know, the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.
Wow.
So God's statement is so beautiful and clear. So my son is said 12 times by God in relation to Jesus. And so we try to base our faith simply on the Word of God. And if you think about that, how did Jesus rebuke Satan in the temptations? Satan would pull a scripture out of context and says, oh, the angels are going to watch over you. And Jesus says, it is also written, you shall not test the Lord your God.
Wow, yes, yes.
And so we come back with the Word of God in these situations to the simplicity that thou art, in King James, thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
Wow.
Remembering that Christ is a title.
Mm.
And just to remind you of how important that title is, if you go back to the book of Revelation, when Jesus shows up again, he's not doing the Zechariah, you know, thing where he's coming in lowly riding on a donkey.
Right.
It says, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the words of God, the testimony of Jesus, I saw heaven opened.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And Jesus on a white horse. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and his name was written. And it has a robe dipped in blood.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus submitted totally to the will of God to offer the one perfect sacrifice of perfect blood for us. He's called the Word of God. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword. He will strike down the nations. And on his robe and on his thigh and is written, King of Kings,
yes,
and Lord of yes, Lords. So when you talk about Christos,
yes,
you must go back to Messiah.
Right.
And you must go back to David as king.
Wow.
This is talking about God's king.
Yes, yes.
Whom he's going to set over all the nations. And if you see me, I'm flipping to Psalm 2. And Psalm 2 is so beautiful in this. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? Look at what it says. The kings of the earth will take their stand against him.
Yes, yes.
Against God's anointed one. And the rulers will take counsel against the Lord God, Yahweh, that's in the Hebrew, that's Yahweh, and his anointed one. So God has a king.
Yes.
And this Jesus is the Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And notice what his inheritance is. Psalm 2:7. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you, and ask of me, and I will give the nations. So this talks about the kingdom of God. As Randy Alcorn talks about, the new heavens and the new earth is going to be God reestablishing his domain and his rulership on the earth. And so this Jesus is so important. Christology is so important to fully understand the relation of Jesus to the Father and how God has appointed him to judge the world.
Yes.
So in Christ, we are complete.
Yes, yes. I love it.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, this is how far then, as I was saying, how far then, again, can we advance
simply by taking a look at the word, those two mm-hmm. two words, of God.
Of God.
And when I came to realize that Jesus is the Christ of God. It began to put the whole matter in a different perspective.
That's right, yeah.
But as I was saying earlier, unfortunately, most Christians that I meet don't even realize the word Christ has a meaning. I guess they think it's just
most people think name, it's a name.
Yeah, and they don't realize this
title.
Yeah. So I'm proud of our students at Atlanta Bible College.
They're working
who are learning these things and working through these things, and because I think surely it has to please God that people would know these things, understand the scriptures, and know the truth about His Son Jesus. I like that.
Amen.
Who is one of us. How exciting is that?
It is beautiful. You know, in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, you're a child of God. And what's that third part? If you're a child of God, you're an heir of God and co-heir with Christ.
With Christ. I love that.
Co-heir. We're going to be rulers with Him, Dan.
I love it.
And that's beautiful. Be thou ruler of the 10 cities. Be thou ruler of the 5 cities. And so that's going to be so beautiful. Such a beautiful time.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It is great. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.